population is increasing. So we're trying to you know, go against that. And Prabhupada said at one time, he said, if you keep on distributing books, we can actually turn back the tide of Kali Yuga. You know, so just whenever we get a chance, you know, to give somebody a book or give someone a prasadam, you'll know that you're fighting this almost undefeatable tide of Kali Yuga that's going on. So Lord Varaha, it also explains that just by hearing this pastime of Lord Varaha, that any sins that you have are forgiven. It says even the sin of killing a Brahmin, so Brahmahati. So that's a pretty big benediction. And it's so comforting to know that each time we read, each time we hear, like people come to Bhaktam class or hear it at home, every day that they're increasing their love for God just by hearing. So we can't underestimate the benedictions. Actually, the first time I read a Krishna book, I read a story in there. At the end of it, there was a shruti fall, you know, a benediction you get just from hearing the story and listening to the story. So how easy is that? Reading a story and you get a benediction. So I was so excited about it when I read, oh, this is going to happen, you know, all your sins will be taken away, that it made me want to read another story and another story and another story. So these books, you know, they have lives of their own. You know, I used to distribute books in Miami Airport for like 5 years, and I saw amazing transformations even of people that worked at the library, worked at the airport. And actually, speaking of the library, this is another kind of funny story where this young man, young African-American man, very tall, he came to our temple. And I asked him, well, how did you happen to come? And he said, well, I was in the library, and I saw a flower garland, and I wanted to know where it came from. So that's Radha Damodar. Apparently, Radha Damodar regularly brings garlands to the library. So I saw it, and they told me it came from a Hare Krishna temple. So he wanted to come to the temple. He's been coming every week since then. So, you know, wearing a flower garland, sometimes people will say, oh, wow, that's so beautiful. Like, where did you get that? You can even gift a flower garland. There's so many simple, beautiful ways to give people mercy. You know, and everybody needs it in Kali Yuga because there's so much to fight against. So in the airport in Miami, the way it was set up, like on one side of the airport, there was all the ticket sellers, you know, all the different airlines, you know, Delta and Lufthansa and all of them. And we were right across from the ticket sellers, so they watched us all day, you know, giving out books and you know, collecting money. And in some ways, that just incites the envious nature, you know, that these people, that they're collecting so much money, and what are they doing with it, and, you know, what are they doing? There was one man who worked there who would always just try to break up our sales, you know, just be real nit. And don't get a book from them. You know, we don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. This is crazy. But one day he came up to me, and actually at that time I was pregnant with Ramananda Roy, and he gave me a flower. I was like, whoa. I was like kind of afraid to smell the flower, like maybe it was poisoned, you know. So I kind of like held it at a distance, you know, and I said, wow, what happened, you know? Like, he said, well, he was adopted by a priest, and he said when the priest came to visit him, and he was talking about us, and the priest said, oh, no, you're doing, this is very wrong, you're doing something very wrong. These people are trying to, you know, create love of God, you know. So then he was repentant, and he, you know, he became very favorable to the devotees. And there was another man in the airport, and his job was to kick us out of the airport if we crossed a line. So it was very tempting, like, let's say here's a line, and you saw the perfect person just a little bit over the line. So you would, okay, I'm just going to do it. And sometimes you get away with it. Sometimes you go, oh, you crossed the line, you got to go home. It was like, darn, you know, it's only like 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm supposed to be here till 6, and I got to leave. So that was his job. all day long, every day, just to like kick us out if we went over a certain line. Anyway, one day when I was teaching at the Gurukula, I saw this man come up in the porch. And he came to my door, and I said, "Can I help you?" I didn't recognize him. And he said, "I'm looking for Mahatma." I said, "Oh, yeah, but she's in Mexico now. She's visiting, you know, her relatives." So he said, "I remember you. You're Sukada, Sandra Elsie." And I'm like, "What?" Because I used to kick you out of the airport all the time. Do you remember? So, but he became a friend of the devotees, you know. So that's, again, you know, just association, prasadam. There's so many ways to be able to help people along the path. And I think three of the main lessons that we can learn from this story is like the importance of the association of devotees. Because, you know, when Lord Varaha, when he picked up the earth, it said that he impregnated the earth. And they had a child named Naraka who was a great devotee, but he ended up becoming demoniac because of bad associations. So you figure he was actually killed eventually by his father because I think he became Bhomasura. So that association, how important it is, how important it is to always be conscious in whatever we're doing, including, you know, when it comes to begetting children, how important that is, and how important it is to rely on the Lord in every situation that we have, that we can naturally do that, and also that we can come to take shelter of devotees, you know, devotees, older devotees or younger devotees, that we have confidence in that can help us in a difficult situation. Because many times in Kali Yuga, the family situation is broken, it's not so strong. So we have to become, you know, we're a big family and we have to be there for each other. So I think I'll stop here. We could just maybe sing, do you have it up there, the Dasavatar? There's the third verse of the Dasavatar Stotra. We can just sing it a couple of times together, and I'll read the translation just to glorify Lord Varaha. So anyone with a singing voice can just sing along with me here. Dasha Nausikare Tarani Tabalabhya Shashini Kalaka Kalevani Magna Keshavadrita Sukhari Rupa Rajapati Shahare Chayatavadi Shahare Chayatavadi Shahare. One more time. Vasati Dashanastikare Tavuni Tavalakya Shashini Kamaka Kalevani Magna Keshavadrita Sukara Rupa Chachapati Shahare Chachavadi Shahare Chachavadi Shahare. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a boar, all glorious to you. The earth, which has become immersed in the Garbhodak ocean at the bottom of the universe, sits fixed upon the tip of your tusk like a spot upon the moon. And you know, Lord Chaitanya displayed on a couple of different occasions, once in Murari Gupta's house, the form of a boar. So, and for Murari Gupta, it just confirmed his understanding that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personal Godhead because he knew of this incarnation. So, Lord Boar, he's very, very merciful. We can pray to Lord Boar, and you know, to get more spiritual strength and be able to fight the pervasive demonic mentality and even the demonic mentality in our own hearts. Because you know, different ages that used to be like on different continents, the divine demoniac, and then it was in different countries. But in Kali Yuga, it's both within ourselves, and we can sense it. You know, sometimes when, you know, our demonic nature, our anger will rise. We have to remember how we can curb our anger. So thank you for your attention. Does anybody have any addition or comment that they'd like to make about class? Yes.
Just have a comment and a little story.
Okay.
Earlier you talked about how the two brothers are extracting gold from the earth and that caused the fall. So even today the scientists are concerned that if we get too much extraction from the earth, then it can fall out of orbit. There are scientific research that shows that. So it's so amazing how the earth arranged all these ingredients to keep it in balance. Everything is happening by chance.
Yeah, it's true. Like Prabhupada even said that, you know, the scientists, they call it gravity. You know, and Prabhupada's like, okay, they can call it whatever they want, but actually it's just Krishna's power that's keeping the planets afloat. And Prabhupada commented too on what you're saying about the oil, you know, that extracting so much oil from the earth can cause it to go off balance. And it can also cause Bhumi, it can also cause the earth plant to withhold, you know, what she gives so freely. You know, she can withhold it, so then there becomes a food shortage. So very important to understand how these things really work. Any other comment?
Yeah, you had you mentioned the story of a garland, so I have a little story I'd like to share also.
Okay.
Yeah. 2 years ago when I first went to the Dominican Republic, so I was giving the Sunday Peace class lecture. And at the end of the lecture, well, they announced, I just asked for any newcomers, so this one girl raised her hand that she was a newcomer, first time. So I told the devotee, just after the class, just instinctively, just give the garland to her. So I took off the garland, one Mataji couldn't give it to her. So afterwards, I was taking prasadam there with some other devotees, and she came up to me, she said she wanted to tell me a story. So I said, okay, what is it? She's saying that 2 years before, she saw a book with someone with a garland. So it was Lord Chaitanya with a garland.
Mm-hmm.
And she developed that desire that she would like to have a garland. And she's willing to do what it takes to get it. So,
is that why she came?
Yes. So the Saturday before, that's the day before, we were doing Harinam in downtown Santo Domingo. And she passed by and she saw, and she saw a book and she saw this garland again, and she decided to join us there, and she came to the Sunday Feast the next day.
Wow.
So once she got the garland, today she's a devotee and she's a very responsible person helping with organizing stuff.
Oh wow, very
that's
nice.
That's what I desire for the garland.
Very nice story, love that. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine just seeing the garland, how powerful that is, because it's kind of like non-different from Krishna because it's his paraphernalia. So it's very, very powerful. Okay, anybody else have a comment?
I was thinking, here it states that the boar became as big as an elephant. But when you think about it, the earth planet was at the tip of his snout. We can't even fathom the vastness of this earth planet. How huge Varaha actually is.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's true.
Hare Krishna. All glory to the Lord Varaha. Thank you for your wonderful class.
Oh, thank you. I just heard on NPR recently, they were talking about these scientists about how they found some water, I think, on Mars, and, you know, if there's water there, that means there's life there, and they were, like, so excited about it, and I thought, it's not just water. I mean, okay, water, there can be life, but all the different subtle forms of life there are in all the different planets, you know, that they're just not aware of. So this descending knowledge is so available, you know. To ascending knowledge is very difficult, and someone who's a jnani, you know, finding some knowledge here, finding some knowledge there, you know, trying to figure, well, is this right, is that right? Like, which is, what's right, you know? But descending knowledge just comes down so gracefully, so beautifully, and we're just able to accept it and surrender to it and, you know, become pure-hearted, you know, and give the grace to others. So we're a day to truly be grateful, right? A day to truly be grateful. Yes, Madam Mati. Wow. Okay.
I was just thinking, a couple thoughts came to my mind as you were talking. You mentioned about Brahma, and when he saw the, you know, little entity or whatever that became so big, and he thought, you know, it has to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I was thinking, it's only a person with divine qualities would come and think that way, because he's in the form of a boar, and he could have thought, because demons have mystic powers, yeah?
Yeah.
He could have thought, like, some big demon, where did this come from? But no, he thought that it must be the Supreme Personality of God. So that kind of thought came about, how about Brahma, with his divine qualities. Another thought was that I kind of remember they described that Lord Raha was very beautiful. Very beautiful. And I was thinking, wow, it has to be Krishna, because how can Raha, you know, be beautiful?
Right.
You know, it was just like, but yes, Lord Raha was very beautiful.
It said that his color was like a tamal tree, so he actually had a bluish hue. That was one of the ways that some of the sages identify them as the Supreme Person of Godhead, because of that.
Yeah,
and then his tusks, it said, were glittering. Mm-hmm. And one of the artists, you might know more, Pushkar, but asked Prabhupada how to paint Lord Varaha, because they were under the impression he had four hooves, as a boar would, but Prabhupada said two arms and then the back two hooves. And then he said, paint him very beautifully, you know, very ornamented. And even Hiranyaksha said he had, I was trying to picture it, you know, this huge demon like stalking around, steal from him. He's got ankle belts on that are tinkling. It sounded like such an oxymoron to me, you know, that this big, strong, you know, the little tinkling ankle bells, you know, but being decorated was so important. Okay, thank you very much for listening. Hare Krishna.